would you from your heart silently today, would you just from your heart say this simple prayer? Lord, speak to my heart today through the message and draw me closer to you. Would you say that to the Lord? Lord, speak to my heart today through the message and draw me closer to you. Secondly, would you say to the Lord, Lord, help the preacher to preach the message today exactly as you'd have him to, filled with your spirit. Simply means controlled completely with your spirit. And lastly, would you say, Lord, we want everything to bring praise and honor and glory to you. God's people said,
amen. Amen. You may be seated. Now, keep in mind, I am not a superstitious person, okay? Oh. Now, Bobby, where did you get your superstition? I don't see a chapter and verse on that one. But as I open up this umbrella, if you see someone with an umbrella, maybe you're looking out your window, maybe you're walking down the street, you see someone with an umbrella, what do you automatically think in your mind? Now, I know this is a smart bunch, okay? What do you think? It's raining, right? It must be raining or else that person's either a lunatic or something, right? So it's raining. And you know, when you think about rain, you know, one thing I remember in school. Now, there's not a lot of things I remember in school, but there's some things that I remember in school. Do y'all remember the rain cycle? Do y'all remember the rain cycle or the water cycle, it might be called? Do y'all remember that? No, not really. Okay. What's amazing what you're reminded of in church, right? I'm glad that you're here today. You see, there's a cycle of rain. It's probably one of the best known cycles, I would imagine, in the world, okay? So rain falls or snow falls, precipitation falls, right? And it goes into our rivers, into our lakes, into our soil and all of that. But guess what? The sun comes up and it makes the water become vapor form, right? And it goes back and forms clouds. And then the clouds, when they get so full of rain, guess what? It rains again, and that's a complete cycle, okay? Now, I wrote down these words. I wasn't exactly sure of these specific words, but there's four parts to this: evaporation, convection, precipitation, and collection, okay? Now, you say, why did you bring that up? Well, today, we're going to talk about a cycle. Okay, a cycle. Now, if one of the best known cycles is the water cycle or the rain cycle, I want you to kind of be thinking along those lines, okay? Now, what happens when it rains is things grow, right? But we're going to talk about today, in particular, we're going to be talking about the cycle of Christian growth. The cycle of Christian growth. Can you say that with me just so you know that we're kind of on the same page? A cycle of Christian growth. Now, y'all can do better than that. A cycle of Christian growth. Now, excuse me. I find in Scripture that there is a cycle. If you want to grow in the Lord. Now, if you know Jesus as Savior, now that's the place to start, okay? Trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. You're not going to grow as a Christian until you become a Christian. And you become a Christian by putting your faith and trust in Jesus. Now, what did Jesus do for us? As the Son of God, He died upon a cross, right? And when He died upon the cross, He paid for your sins, He paid for my sins. And when I go to Him and I believe that He really did that as the Son of God and resurrected back to life and conquered death, and I go to Him in faith and I pray to God and I say, God, I'm a sinner. Forgive me of my sins. I believe the Bible, what the Bible says about Jesus, that he was the Son of God. He was born of a virgin. He lived a perfect life. He died upon the cross, and he resurrected back to life. And when he died, he paid for my sins. When you say that and you mean that, and you claim Jesus as your Savior, and you mean that from your heart, it's not in the words. That's one thing that really troubles me with a lot of preachers. They make it sound like just say these little magic words. There's nothing magic about the words. What it is, it's a decision of your heart that you just verbally tell God in prayer. Forgive me of my sins. I believe Jesus died for me as the Son of God and paid for my sins. You are my Savior. And you mean that from your heart, you're saved. So that's the place, the point that Christian growth should start, right? Should start. Now, if you're here today and you say, well, I know that I'm a Christian. Well, are you growing in the Lord? I'm going to give you some pointers today as we talk about a cycle. Now, a cycle is something that repeats itself, right? And this cycle, as you look at this cycle in Scripture today, guess what? This should repeat itself time after time. And as we repeat this cycle, we should be growing in our walk with the Lord. Another word for growing in the Lord would be maturing in the Lord, okay? Maturing in the Lord. Now, when you're a kid, you're kind of young and dumb, right? Were y'all kind of young and dumb ever? Okay. And then sometimes kids and teenagers do things kind of dumb things, don't you agree? And you're like, well, they got to mature. They got to grow up a little bit. We're not making excuses, but sometimes you say things like that, right? And if you see someone who's a teenager or a kid that never grows up or never matures, you say, you ever use it? They just never grew up. Well, sometimes that happens with Christians. And it's because they're not taking advantage of this cycle of Christian growth that's found in Scripture. Now, we're going to look in particular, we kind of started a sermon series this morning on looking at miracles that teach. Miracles of Jesus that teach. Now, I want to say right off the bat that every miracle of Jesus that's included in Scripture can teach us something. You say, why was this included in Scripture? But we're going to look at several of those, and we're going to look at one miracle in particular today and observe in this miracle a cycle of Christian growth. I don't know about you. If you're a Christian today, say, I really don't care to grow. I'm comfortable right where I'm at. I don't want to mature anymore in the Lord. I don't want to learn anymore about Jesus. I don't want to be more like Jesus. I don't want to grow at all. If that's your attitude, you really, really need to examine your heart. Because if you really know Jesus as Savior, you ought to want to grow and mature in your walk with the Lord. You ought to want to be more and more like Jesus. You ought to want to know more and more about our God as you go through this life. And I believe this cycle, just like the rain cycle, can help us as it repeats itself in our life. If you'd turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 5, we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 11. Luke chapter 5. Now, probably a pretty familiar passage. Again, we're looking at miracles that teach. Miracles that teach. Today in particular, the cycle of Christian growth. The cycle of Christian growth. Now, a miracle is something that's supernatural, right? A miracle is something that's not just going to happen on its own. It's something that God does. It's something that only God can do. And as we look at Scripture and as we count them up, now some people count them and group them a little bit different, but I know one source that I depend upon quite a bit says that Jesus in person, in his ministry, did 35 miracles or supernatural acts that only God could do. 35. Now some will say more like 37, some might go, but they group them just a little bit different, and maybe they see a miracle in a parallel passage of Scripture and say, I think that's different than what's recorded in the other gospel. So a little bit of difference there. But can I tell you that when Jesus was in this earth, he did miracles. Can I tell you that our God is a miracle-working God even today? Come on, y'all aren't too with it today. just get a little limbered up there. Work on your amens just a little bit. But Jesus did some 35 miracles, these supernatural acts found in scriptures. Now, that's the ones that's recorded. And there's a verse, if I can find it. I kind of skipped through a lot of my notes as I was opening up. I had a lot of different things to say, but John 21, verse 25. Let me just read it to you. It's what I intended to do. And it says, "And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written." Amen. Now, you think about that. There's only so many miracles that are recorded in Scripture. But if all of them and all that Jesus did, it says basically the books in the whole world could not contain all the things that Jesus did in his ministry on this earth. That's pretty impressive, don't you think? So you got to ask yourself, why were these miracles in particular recorded in Scripture? And again, these 35 doesn't include... several times in Scripture it mentions that Jesus went about healing all the sick and casting out the demons and things like that. Now, those are not spelled out individually, but there are some miracles in Scripture that are spelled out specifically. And what can we learn today? Now, in Luke chapter 5, if you would follow along, the Scripture will show up there on the monitor, or you have your Bible, that would be good. Listen to this. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. It says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret." Now, can you kind of picture this a little bit? Now, Jesus' popularity was such that as he taught the people, people were gathering in around him. Now, I've been in some big crowds, and sometimes as things get a little bit closer to whatever you're there to see or the person that you're there to see, things get a little bit more crowded because people are getting closer. Can you imagine the people just getting closer and closer to Jesus because they wanted to hear him teach? Now, what do you do? How in the world do you make it such that most of the people or all the people can hear you and see you? And this is the Sea of Galilee. Another name, Lake of Gennesaret, is also the Sea of Galilee. Now, he was in the northwest corner in a village up in that area, and listened to what he does so that they can hear him better and see him better. It says, "And saw two ships," this is Jesus, "saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets." Now, you say, "I don't fish with a net." Well, I don't think I've ever fished with a net either, but for those that make a living by being fishermen, they fish by nets. And they did at the time of Jesus as well. They'd go out in their ships, they would throw the nets over, then they would draw the nets in, and what was caught would be their take, and that was their living. Okay, now after they got through fishing, guess what? They would have to make sure that they untangled their nets so their nets would not rot and so that their nets could dry, okay? Now, that's what was going on with the fishermen off of these two ships. Now, we're going to find out whose ships they were in just a moment. And it says in verse 3, "And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's," okay? Now, do you remember who Simon Peter's brother was? Andrew and Simon Peter, right? Peter and Andrew were brothers, and they were in business together. Now, there was two other brothers that were also fishermen. That's James and John, and they're mentioned a little bit later. It says, "And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship." Can you picture this in your mind? This is really kind of cool, I think. Wouldn't you love to have been there to hear Jesus teach from his very lips? That they cast this ship a little bit away from the shore, and those that were on the shore, of course, could see him better and hear him better. And it says that he sat down. He was seated as he taught the people. Can you picture that in your mind? Okay, we're going to do exercises here in just a moment. I want to come down there and become among you there. Now, I'd like to have been there. A pretty cool setting, I think. And it says in verse 4, now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon. So he got through teaching all these people, these crowds that are gathered there on the shore. He says to Simon, that's Simon Peter, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Now, it's kind of interesting, and I'll probably allude to this a little bit later too, but you have a carpenter giving a fisherman some advice on how to catch fish. But see, the difference here, this carpenter is the Son of God and God himself. Verse 5, and Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Can you imagine? All night long. They'd toiled all night long. I imagine they hadn't gotten any sleep yet. So they toiled all night long. Here they were. They were trying to get their nets untangled and their nets dried. And Jesus says, you go out and go into the deep and cast down your nets and you're going to catch a bunch of fish. And Simon answering, can you imagine poor old Simon, tired Simon here? He answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. But I'm glad he gets around to this part. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. Now, can you imagine the fish story they had to tell? Now, some of you make up these stories. You know, like, well, that fish I caught, I tell you what, it was that big. But can you imagine the story that they could tell? It says their nets started to break. And they beckoned unto their partners. Now, they had their net from their ship, and they said, hey, partners, this would be James and John in the other ship. Come on over here. We got more fish than we can handle here. It says that they should come and help them, and they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. Wow! Can you picture that? Now, I like that first picture, Jesus teaching from the ship, but I like this one too. Because of what Jesus told them and because of them doing what he said to do, their ships were full and they were starting to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, notice this, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Wow. You're not going to catch fish anymore. You're going to catch men. You're going to tell them about me, Jesus says. And when they had brought their ships to land, notice this, they forsook all and followed him. Now, I hope that you see this is a real miracle. Now, some people like to try to explain away the miracles in the Bible. This was a true miracle, okay? This was a supernatural act of God. It could not have happened by the power of man. It happened because of the power of God. And I'm thankful that I serve that kind of God. Is there an amen out there? I'm thankful that I have that God who can do anything that he wants to do because he's God. He has all power. There's no time that I ever have to go to God and say, God, can you handle this problem? Because I'm telling you, our God is an all-powerful God that can handle everything because he's God. But as I see this story here and I see this miracle, again, there's a cycle for Christian growth. A cycle for Christian growth. Now, you got to keep in mind, this is probably Simon Peter and Andrew and James and John had already encountered Jesus. Now, it seems like, you know, when he says initially come and follow me and they come and followed him for a while, it seems like that was kind of part-time. And then he went back to their fishing business here. And then Jesus is teaching, and he's in the ship of Peter teaching. And then they catch all of these fish, and their ships begin to sink. And then Peter realizes, like, whoa, I'm a sinful man compared to the greatness of you, Jesus. And then this seems to be the time that they entered into full-time service for the Lord, right here. It seems that way. Now, as I look at this, I see the cycle. And there's three words that represent this cycle. The first word is responsibility. Responsibility. You know, if you want to grow in the Lord, if you want to grow in the Lord, this is important. This is big, okay? If you want to grow in your walk with the Lord, the first word is responsibility. Say that with me. Responsibility. Say it again. Responsibility. Now, you say, where do you find this in Scripture? Well, it says in verse 4, after Jesus was through teaching, he says unto Simon Peter, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Now listen, listen. Again, you have a carpenter giving advice to a fisherman, and that advice is contrary to conventional wisdom. Now, from what I understand on the Sea of Galilee, now I'm not much of a fisherman. Jason will attest to this. But all I typically do, I waste my money on night crawlers. I waste my time trying to get all of the hooks on there and all the sinkers and the floats and all the different things. And I go out and all I really accomplish is drowning those poor old night crawlers. That's about it. Every once in a while, some stupid fish might just jump on my hook, but it's never a monster fish, okay? It's probably always almost the throwback kind, right, Jason? You can attest to that, and I'm not much of a fisherman, right? But the conventional wisdom, you really didn't have to agree with me, son. But the conventional wisdom in the Sea of Galilee was, guess what? At nighttime, you fish, you drop the nets shallow. I mean, it was unheard of in the deep, in the middle of the day, to be dropping a net down. So that goes against conventional wisdom. But guess what? Jesus says, do it anyway. Do it anyway. You see, he says, now here's your responsibility. If you like this word better, this is your call. This is what I want you to do, Peter. Now, Peter responds pretty much a lot like we do when God tells us, this is what I want you to do. We a lot of times respond the same way. Well, that just doesn't make any sense, right? Because we're using these little tiny human pea brains that we have. Do you know that God has a plan for everybody here? And if you've trusted Jesus as your Savior, God tells us what he wants us to do. The Lord says, okay, this is what I want you to do. Just like he told Peter here, okay, launch out into the deep, let down your net, and you'll catch a bunch of fish. He tells us things like, guess what? I want you to go witness to your neighbor. And if we're not careful, we'll say, you know what? I bet my neighbor's heard that 1,000 times. I'm pretty tired. I don't know if I really want to do it. We start making excuses, right? He sometimes might tell us, you know what? I want you to start tithing to the church. What's that? What's that, Lord? I must have mocked. You know, and you say, how does he tell us this? I would like to hear the very words of Jesus, wouldn't you? But how does he tell us things today? If he's got a plan for our life, how does he tell us what the plan is and what that call is and what our responsibility is? Through the Bible and through the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us that know Jesus. It's that still small voice. And he might say you go witness. He might say you start tithing. He might say, you know what, I want you to start working with kids in the church. You know what, I want you to start helping with this ministry. He might even say, you know what, I want you to start this ministry in the church. He might say, you know what, I want you to become a preacher of the gospel. He might say, you know what, I want you to be a missionary. We don't know what the call might be, but he speaks to us in this cycle. He says, guess what? First of all, responsibility. I'm going to tell you what I want you to do. And if we're not careful, the first thing we think is, I can't do that. That's not convenient for me to do. Lord, you sure you got that right? Can I tell you? The Lord always gets it right. He made you. We talked about today in Sunday school that he knows how many hairs are on your head. And we paused there. Our class is kind of informal there, our teen class. And Jason Googled. I said, Jason, Google this. How many hairs are on our head? Anywhere between 90,000 and 140,000 hairs. Wow. Some might be zero. That was mean, preacher. That was just plumb mean. Well, I will tell you, I'm on the lower side of that 90,000. I'm losing all the time. But anyway, he's the kind of guy that knows what he's doing. He knows how many hairs are on your head. He knows what makes you tick. He knows what your personality is. He knows what your abilities are. He knows how he has gifted you. And he may be whispering in your ear, this is what I want you to do. That's the first part of the cycle of Christian growth. He says, I want you to do this. Now, if God has never told you to do anything like that, I don't know. You need to go back and examine your walk with the Lord, really. Because our life should be one constant. God tells me this. God wants me to do this. God wants me to help with this. God wants me to do. And if he doesn't ever spoke to you, now again, it's not an audible voice. It's a still small voice. Maybe you need to spend more time in God's word if you're not hearing him talk to you. You may need to spend more time in prayer. You may need to listen more to the Holy Spirit and less to the world sometimes and say, okay, my responsibility from God, just like Jesus told Peter, launch out into the deep and let down your net and you're going to catch a bunch of fish. He sometimes says to us, this is what I want you to do. Maybe he whispers in our ear, I want you to read the Bible more. I want you to pray more. But there's that responsibility, the first part of the cycle, responsibility, that call. But you know, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, actually two of my favorite verses in all the scripture, says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Did you catch that? Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You know, I want God to direct my paths. And as he directs my paths, guess what? I don't have to use my little pea brain. Do you know if people use their pea brain to tell God what God can and cannot do through them, we would not have the missionaries we have today. We would not have the preachers that we have today. We would not have the Sunday school teachers today. We would not have those working with kids. I'm not even sure we'd have a church if there wasn't people that heard God speak. You've heard O.D. talk about this when he started the church, right? He felt God wanted him to do this, right? Y'all remember O.D., right? You remember O.D., A.J.? Now, in a similar way, God speaks to us, really, through the Word of God and through the Holy Spirit. And he says, this is your responsibility. This is what I want you to do. How will we respond? Well, the second part of the cycle is response. Not only responsibility where he gives us a call, but what is our response? Now, this is crucial. Everybody awake, alert, alive, and enthusiastic. What's really important is our response. How do we respond to that? Now, you know God gives us a free will. Do you know you will choose what you're going to do this afternoon? Y'all agree with me on that? Just give me a little nod. You're going to choose what you're going to do tonight at 6:30, right? You're going to choose, I mean, within constraints, you're going to choose what you're going to do tomorrow. You're going to choose, right? It's a choice. God gives us free choice. Even after we're saved, he doesn't make us puppets or robots, right? He says, this is what I want you to do. Now, what are you going to do about it? And Peter, remember, he started out a little bit shaky here in his response. He says, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. You know, it's almost like, really, can I paraphrase it? And you say, I don't think it was quite that strong, but it's almost like Peter was saying, now, Lord, that's a dumb idea, right? But how did he ultimately respond? Nevertheless, right? At thy word, I will let down the net. At thy word, I will let down the net. And what you and I need to do in this cycle of Christian growth, when he says, I'm calling you, this is your responsibility, we need to say, all right. We may come up with a bunch of excuses. But, you know, at the end of the day, we need to come to the conclusion that, Lord, you got this. I don't know how many times I've texted the boys through a semester and through the year. Jason's first year and Ryan's third year of school, you know, and they're under a lot of pressure and they got all these tests and these projects and everything. And I just simply say, you know, God's got this. God's got this. And when God calls you to do something and tells you what your responsibility before the Lord is, guess what? It's not your problem anymore. It's God's. All you got to do is say, yes, I will do it. That's what Peter said, right? Cycle. Cycle is something that repeats itself. So the first one is responsibility. Say that with me, responsibility. The second is response. Say that with me, response. God tells us what our responsibility is. We respond either yes or no or with a bunch of excuses, hopefully yes. And that's what Peter did, right? He said, yes. It took him a little bit to get there, but he got there. Now, the third word is results. Results. Now, you say, what was the result in this story? What was the result of that? You know, as a result of Peter saying yes to the responsibility that God had shared with him, guess what? It says in verse 6, a great multitude of fishes. Says also in verse 6, and their net break. Verse 7, they filled both ships. Verse 7, so that they began to sink. You see, if God does the calling and he says, this is what I want you to do, this is your responsibility, and we respond with a, yes, Lord, I will do it. And can I tell you, the devil and the world and your old flesh will offer 1,000 reasons why you shouldn't do what God wants you to do. I'm too busy. I don't have the time. I have other priorities. I'm not the sharpest pencil in the box. You know, we're offered all kind of things, right? Well, I can't get what I want if I do that. And I can't work and make all the money that I want. You know, I can't have the savings. I can't have the retirement. I mean, the world, the flesh, and the devil offer us so many excuses why we cannot just simply say, yes, Lord, I'll do it. So, responsibility, response, but what was the result? Man, can you imagine the story? Can you imagine the people looking at that saying, wow, man, their ship's almost sunk before. I mean, it looked like they were going down, but they made it to the shore. Just and look at all the, I mean, can you imagine the story, the blessing that they had, but that's not all. And it was a blessing because they said yes to the Lord's will. You know, really, we have a lot of Christians, I'm afraid, in Christianity today. They're in neutral. My goodness, if there's ever a time for us to be in drive with the pedal to the metal, it's today. We don't need to be in neutral in our walk with God. We need to be saying, Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, I hear you. Lord, I'm going to do it. And can I tell you, the results will astound you. They'll amaze you. Peter was amazed, but that's not all. In this cycle, look at what happened. The second result was seeing who Jesus was even more clearly. You know, when God says this is your responsibility, and we respond with a yes in this cycle, and we do it, you know, one of the results is we get to see the Lord for who he really is. You know, a lot of people, a lot of Christians have a God about the size of an inch tall. And that's the size of my God. That's okay, though. I'm growing my own. Can I tell you, God is not that small? Can I tell you that God cannot be put in a box? Can I tell you that our God is an awesome God? Can I tell you that our God can do anything? But you see, I can see that personally when I listen to what he wants me to do and I say yes to what he wants me to do, God will not only bless me, and I'm not talking about, you know, I'll have $100,000 in the bank. I'm not talking about that kind of blessing. That's really not that important of a blessing. The real blessings in life do not have dollar signs in front of them. God will bless you in innumerable ways, but he'll bless you. And when you do it and God blesses you and you see what God has done through you, you say, wow, what a God. Wow, he did that through me? I mean, look, Peter, it says, when he saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. So another result, not only seeing Jesus in the power, that's what he saw, it shows us that we got a lot of work to do. do you see what I'm saying? When we see the Lord in his glory and in his power, we realize that we're not God. We're sinners. And we got a lot of work to do. And that's exactly what Peter said in this cycle. He said, you know what? I got a lot of work to do. There's blessings in saying yes to the Lord. You know, there's ministries in our church that I would really love to start, but we just don't have the people to do it. It's not because we don't have bodies that come. We just don't have people that want to step up and take it. You know what I mean? There's some things that I'd like to see happen. There's ministries I'd like to see started. There's people that I'd like to see ministered to. But you know what? I want to be the kind of people that when God says, oh, you want me to do that? By golly, I'll do that. I'll say yes to that. Absolutely. God will bless you. You'll be blessed in innumerable ways. You'll see that our God is powerful. You'll realize that you're not so powerful and you're a work in progress. But you know what? If you say yes, the cycle should start all over again. You never get to the point that you arrive. And God never stops talking and whispering in your ear through the Bible and through the Holy Spirit. You see, that's why I call it the cycle of Christian growth. Because you say well, yes one time, you say, wow, what a God. But I still need work. And then God whispers in your ear, and it might be something a little bit more challenging. It might be, okay, God. Okay. And then you hear the responsibility. You respond with a yes, and the results are blessed. And then guess what? The Lord speaks to your heart again in that still, small voice. You see, I believe that our lives are basically one calling after another. One listening to God's call after another. One listening to his responsibility time after time. That's why I call it a cycle. It's supposed to repeat itself time and time again. You know, the Bible says that he's going to be faithful in that which is little will be faithful in that which is much. Now, I'm somewhat paraphrasing this. I have the reference up here. But he that is unjust in little will be unjust in much. So basically, you know what the problem with some Christians, I believe? God's given them a responsibility. God has given them a call. And they've responded by saying, nope. And then God probably says, okay, I give you free will. I'm gonna say either the same call again, or I'm going to change it and see what you do this time. And then they say, nope. You see, there's no growth. There's no drawing closer to God. You know, if God has not ever called you in life to step out in faith, get out of your comfort zone, I believe you're not listening close enough. I believe that. God has taken me out of my comfort zone several times. When he's told me to do this or that or the other. You see, the cycle of Christian growth. Would you say those three words with me if you got them in your brain? Responsibility, response, results. Let's say it one more time, because some of you ain't got it yet. Responsibility, response, and results. Now, don't misunderstand me. This is not like a magic wand or anything, but I really think that this principle is shown as this miracle teaches us. Now, what happened in the rest of the story? Well, it says in verse 10, at the end of that verse, Jesus says unto Simon Peter, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." Let me ask you the question. If Peter had said, "No, I'm not going to let down the net. I'm not going to listen to you. I'm not going to show any faith," would the Lord come back with such a massive, more challenging admonition or call or responsibility? He says to Peter, "You're not going to catch fish anymore. You're going to catch men." Would that have happened? I really think, I'm not sure if I'm communicating this as clearly as I'd like, but I really think that we have Christians that God from the moment they were born said, "You know, I got big plans for them." But we get too busy. We get too distracted. And the Lord calls us. And it might be what we'd consider somewhat of a small area. We said, no, I can't help with the kids. Nope, I'm not going to help with the youth. Nope, I'm not going to do that. No way, I can't be faithful to church. No way, I can't read the Bible. No, I don't have time to pray. And they say no in this area, and therefore they don't grow. And their calling doesn't get bigger. And their ministry doesn't get bigger. And their influence for the kingdom of God doesn't get bigger because they don't have time. They keep saying no to the Lord. I mean, this is big. Peter got this. The cycle of Christian growth. Responsibility, God whispers in your ear. Still small voice through the Word and through the Holy Spirit says, "This is what I want you to do next. This is my call." It could be, go talk to your neighbor about Jesus. It could be, you know what, start reading your Bible. It could be, work with the kids. It could be, I'm calling you into ministry full time. It could be, I'm calling you to the mission field in Africa. I don't know. God knows the plan for you. But with that responsibility, our response, the next part of the cycle, ought to be, "Yes, sir." It may take us a little while to get there. Some of the decisions that I've made for the Lord, it takes you a little while to get there. And I'm not looking and say, "Look at me, look how what a great job I did." No, I'm a sinner saved by grace. But can I tell you that by the end of the day, we ought to get to the point that we say, "Yes, sir." And then the results, wow, God will bless you. And God will continue to speak to your heart. And God will call you, I believe, to do bigger and bigger and better and more for the kingdom of God. That cycle of Christian growth. As we look at this miracle, it teaches us, you know what? God wants to use us. That ought to encourage us. You know what? That ought to fire up a Christian, really. The God of the universe wants to use us. But then we got to get in the Word and get into prayer, get into spending time with the Lord, and He'll tell us what He wants us to do. That responsibility. You know, God didn't save anyone just to sit and sour. God didn't save anyone to hold down a pew. God didn't save anyone just to occupy space. God saved the people that He saved who have called out to Him in faith for a purpose. And God has a plan. And God says, "You listen to my responsibility, you respond in a positive way, and let me tell you, I'm going to bless your socks off with results, and I'm going to keep on calling you and keep on telling you and keep on guiding you until you go home to be with me." This cycle of Christian growth. This cycle of Christian growth. You know, I know that God has a plan for us. I know that. I know that God has a plan for you in particular. Again, have you said yes? Have you said yes to God's calling for you? Have you said yes? You say, "Preacher, I don't even know what a calling is. I don't know what He's called." Well, spend more time in prayer and looking at God's word. And I ask God, say, God, what do you want me to do? Because I'm sure, I will assure you, it's not to do nothing. It is to do something for the Lord. Again, maybe the Lord's calling you. I don't want to make it sound like a calling. It's like, okay, he's calling me into full. Preacher's up there saying everybody's called to be a preacher. Everybody's called to be a missionary. No, I'm not saying that at all. But I'm simply saying that if we listen to the Lord, he'll continue to grow us and mature us by calling us one call after another. Maybe he's calling you to be a tither. Maybe he's calling you to tell a friend about Jesus. Maybe he's calling you to read your Bible and to be more faithful to church. Maybe he's calling you to help with a ministry that we have, or to teach kids, or to start a ministry in our church, or maybe to be a preacher for the Lord, or maybe to be a missionary for the Lord. I don't know about you, but I want to keep growing in the Lord. I want to keep growing in the Lord. I want to know the cycle of Christian growth, just like I know the rain cycle or the water cycle. You know, we learn it in school, but in church, guess what? We ought to know that God wants us to grow. And what's the process to grow? One more time. God tells us what our responsibility is, or our calling. And then we respond. We respond, hopefully by yes. And then the results will amaze us. And then the cycle starts all over again. And he says, this is what I want you to do now. And then you say, I have a choice. Well, how am I going to respond? And if you respond yes, and then he'll bless you, the results will be amazing. And then it starts all over again. It just keeps on cycling and cycling. And, you know, do you realize that Peter died the death of a martyr? As a martyr, he died for the cause of Christ. I'd say that he grew in the Lord. What do you say? From that point that he said, cast the net, and he's like, oh, we've toiled all night. But he did it. I think God kept calling him and telling him what he wanted him to do, and he kept listening closely, even to the point he died the death of a martyr for the cause of Christ. Wow. Faithful. Did he have a few hiccups along the way? Yeah, he's the one that denied the Lord 3 times, right? And we'll have hiccups along the way. We'll fail the Lord and we'll sin against the Lord. But keep getting back up and saying, okay, Lord, now what is it you want me to do? I'm listening. Yes, sir, I'm going to do it. And then just watch God bless. Watch God bless. Would you bow your head? Close your eyes for just a moment. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, let me ask you. Have you heard the Lord call you to do something lately? Have you heard that still small voice? Again, I want to make it very abundantly clear. I'm not talking about everybody being called to be a preacher, everybody called to be. That's not what I'm saying. But I am saying God has a plan for you. Have you heard God's voice recently? The God of the universe who has a plan for you, say anything to you about this is what I want you to do next. This is what I want you to do with your time. This is what I want you to do in the church. This is what I want you to do in that ministry. This is what I, have you heard that recently? Be honest with yourself, because God knows all about it. Have you heard that recently? If not, why don't you talk to God about that? And say, God, help me to be in a place where I can hear you call me, where I can hear what your responsibility for me might be, what you want me to do. And maybe the Lord will just whisper in your ear right now and say, well, you're not spending enough time in the Word of God. You're not spending enough time in prayer. You're not listening to me enough. You've got too many other distractions going on. Perhaps. Maybe you're here today and you say, I'm a Christian. I know I'm a Christian. And I hear what God is telling me he wants me to do. But I've just not told him yes yet. I know what he wants me to do, but I've not told him yes yet. Can I encourage you, today's the day? Just step out in faith. Just like Peter said, nevertheless, that's your word, I'll let down the net. Nevertheless, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I will do it. Would you tell the Lord that right now from your heart? Lord, I know what you're calling me to do. I know what you want me to do. help me, but I'm going to do it. Yes, the answer is yes. You'll see some amazing blessings from the Lord if you just simply say yes to what the Lord wants you to do. Maybe you're here today and you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. You're not sure that if you died today, which could happen. I'm not a drama king. I don't try to emphasize your emotions or anything. But you could die today. If you died today, are you 100% sure that you'd go to heaven? If you don't know for sure you'd go to heaven, let me encourage you. We're going to sing a song here in just a moment. I'd encourage you. Would you step out of your seat? I'll be somewhere down here front. Would you come forward and say, "Preacher, I don't know I'd go to heaven if I died. I want to know. I want to know that I'm a Christian." Would you do that today? Dear God, we thank you for this miracle that teaches. Lord, all of your miracles teach, but this one's pretty obvious, Lord, this cycle. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us. It's not called a cycle in Scripture, but Lord, I really believe that it'll help us, Lord, if we just simply say yes to whatever you're calling us to do. And Lord, the responsibilities will get bigger, perhaps more difficult, a little bit more challenging, but Lord, you're a God who's always faithful. Help us to hear what you're calling us to do, and Lord, help us to do it. If there's anyone lost today, give them the boldness to step out and to trust Jesus as their Savior. We pray this in Jesus' name.